Well, good morning, everybody, on February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day, and also the day after that school shooting in Florida. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Before we get into what is planned to be a wonderful show, I've got the superintendent of San Marcos CISD in Texas, Mike Cardona. Mike's here with Steve Wandler, my good buddy from Fresh Grade, the digital portfolio company. And we're going to talk about how he's making sure every learner in his district, a district which has a lot of ESL kids, by the way, okay, benefit from EdTech and how he's making that happen. Okay, because Mike is a firm believer, and this is key, that data tells a story that creates actions of support for students and teachers. We're going to get to that in a second, but I would be remiss if I did not say something about yesterday's tragic event in Florida. We have got to do something about this. This is enough. 17 children and teachers, I might add, lost their lives. People are still injured. We don't know. We hope they're okay. We have got to have politicians, and I'm going to say this loud and clear, the NRA, stand up and stop this, okay? It is just too much, okay? The NRA is our number one source, first of all. I'm going to say this for gun safety, whether you like that or not, okay? And they have got to be the ones to step up, all right? Because 95% of people want background checks, etc. We cannot continue to let this happen just because a strong lobbying group is paying for politicians' campaigns. The politicians need to stand up and make themselves counted, okay? And the Constitution says they're supposed to ensure domestic tranquility. And when we have school shootings like Sandy Hook and shootings like Vegas and shootings like Parkland, Florida, okay, that's not domestic tranquility anymore. Our schools cannot be safe unless somebody stands up and be counted. And that includes the best hope for gun safety, the NRA. All right, and I'm not going to get into that any longer. Our condolences to everybody out there. And it's a frightening experience. And I don't want to ruin a great show, so I'm just going to say we're going to archive this one at education-talkradio.org. And, of course, we'll tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. Follow us, friend us over at EduTalk Radio on Facebook as well. And I want to bring on my guests. First of all, sorry to start the show like that, Mike, but it needed to be said. Mike Cardona, superintendent. How are you? I'm Larry Jacobs, Mike.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing? Thanks for having us. And I agree with everything you just said. And my thoughts and prayers are with those educators and students and families out there in Broward County, Florida.
It's just frightening and horrible, and the responsibility of a superintendent and all the educators in the district, okay, as you well know, as everybody I'm talking to well knows, okay, we've got to stand up and be counted on this, and thank you for your support on that, Mike. Steve, my good buddy from Fresh Grade, FreshGrade.com, sorry to start a show like that, but you know the events, my friend. We'd be remiss if we didn't.
Needs to be said, Larry, loud and clear. We could spend a whole show on that. And
oh, boy.
Yeah, it's tragic.
I'm going to next week. It's really frightening. Let's change the subject, guys. We want to get into this. I want to give Mike all his due, and I'm sure it's on his mind today. Mike, first of all, wait, I got a lot of noise in the background. Steve, is that you? I think it was you when you started talking. Came on.
I'm in an airport. I apologize. I'll mute myself when I'm not talking. Surprise.
Well, fly safe. Fly safe, Steve. That's funny. Okay. Hey, Mike, tell us about San Marcos School District. Then we'll get into how you're using your transparency of digital portfolios, et cetera. You got a nice school district down there. Let's hear about it.
Hi, we do have a great little district. We're located about 30 miles south of Austin, Texas, about 8,100 kids and growing, 76% of them Hispanic, about 73% of them qualify for free and reduced lunch. People look at us and see us as like a tech corridor, but we have a lot of poverty in our outskirts. We have a Texas State University that sits right here that has 40,000 students, and then it sits on top of the hill. But we have a lot of issues around equity and access, and so we're doing some great, great things, digital portfolios being one of them, to open up the classrooms and open up for parents to see, you know, what it is we're doing in our classrooms for our kids.
It is so important for the parent, especially in an area where there's a lot of ESL kids, because a lot of folks from the Latin American countries, you know, are not engaged with the schools down there. Culturally, it's inappropriate to question a teacher, et cetera. But up here in the United States, we want that. All right. And we have to change that culture and make sure that everybody understands that we want them totally involved in the schools. OK. And we're going to talk about digital portfolios. But, Mike, I know you're a terrific superintendent. And by the way, congratulations, my friend. I just want to say, did you go to Texas A&M? Did you go to Texas
A&M? I did. Yes, sir. I did.
And
yes,
you
sir.
Want congratulate. Don't call me sir. That's a Southern thing. You must call me Larry, Mike. You must call me Larry.
Larry. Hey, my mother would. My mother would have a private conversation with me. I'm also Catholic above all else. So, you know.
Oh, guys, I don't want you to run a guilt trip. I don't want you to run
that's
a guilt
right.
trip.
That's right. That's right.
Call me that. But anyway, you were named, just so you know that everybody knows this, but in your long career, you've won a lot of awards, but I just want to mention from your alma mater, you won, I don't know who this gentleman is, but you probably do. You are the distinguished scholar. You won the Paul R. Hensarling Award. Okay. And congratulations on that. Yeah. Who was he? Do you know who Mr. Hensarling?
He's a longtime educator there at Texas A&M, and the award's given to, you know, a student in upper-level master's or doctoral program who pushes equity. And so, you know, really ironic that, you know, a young Hispanic kid who really struggled to get through Texas A&M graduated with like a 2.3, maybe, 2.3 average, a lot of D's on his report card. You know, now in his doctoral program gets an award to recognize academic performance. It just goes to tell you the story. You never know what's going to happen with a kid and when they find their stride. So, yeah, I was really honored. And that's more really a reflection of my mom and dad, who instilled in me kind of the value of grit. And it wasn't grit. It was like, you better be successful or else.
Right.
You know, my dad dropped out in eighth grade, and then, you know, I got to watch him get his GED and go on to earn an associate's. My mother worked 2-3 jobs, you know, went to school for 11 years driving back and forth here to San Marcos, actually, from San Antonio to get her BA, you know, business administration, but
wow.
Was always a secretary. So not good role models.
You're not kidding. Great role models, and you are too. And wow, what a wonderful story! And again, congratulations on that and everything you do. Okay, Mike. By the way, I'm getting. Are you on a speakerphone by any chance?
No. I'm actually on my cell phone, but I'm in an office. You know those great school buildings that have a lot of cinder block walls.
Okay, you were fine. It was just a little bit echoey, and I just wanted to make sure everybody could hear you very, very clearly. Okay, let me bring Steve. I'm going to bring Steve on to just put this whole thing in perspective. My buddy Steve Wandler, come back on the airport.
How you doing, bud?
I'm good. Steve, tell us about FreshGrade.
Yeah, well, FreshGrade's really out to, you know, change. We talk about digital portfolios, and I guess that's the bucket that we get put under, but we're really out to change the way we view and holistically around their learning. You know, grades don't tell the true story of what a kiddo can do in school, how they learn, and report cards don't tell that story. So we really need to change and evolve and innovate around that. And I believe that digital portfolios is one of the ways that we can bring student learning to life and involve parents in that conversation.
Yep.
And importantly, I think it changes the ownership of the learning from the teacher to the student. And so the student isn't being told what to do. The student actually owns that learning with a true digital portfolio and takes control of their learning.
Excellent. And that's great. It's FreshGrade.com, everybody. And by the way, I did a show yesterday with a wonderful educator from North Carolina named Christy Watson, and she wrote a terrific blog post on EdWeek all about engaging with the families, and she mentioned digital portfolios in there. That was yesterday, February 14th. It was a 9 a.m. show, if you want to listen to Christy, who's just wonderful. But we talked about digital portfolios and FreshGrade and all that sort of stuff there yesterday, Steve. Okay, so she's pretty cool. Yeah, right in the golden triangle there of the research triangle of North Carolina. Okay, Steve, go on mute for a second. I want to talk to Mike. But bye, Steve. I love you. Stay there. Okay, Mike. Okay, Mike Cardona.
Yes, sir.
Okay, talk to me, Mike. You described the district, and I want you to talk about EdTech, how it provides equity, how it can move forward to equity, all right, and how you went about funding it for your school district, because part of that bucket, as Steve so well said, is the digital portfolio, which engages the community, I might add the teachers and the students as well, all in their own learning, making it transparent. But you have to have the backup to make that happen. Okay, talk about what you did down there in San Marcos for EdTech. Mike Cardona.
Larry, one of the
Cardona, excuse me.
Larry, one of the first things we did was we recognized that our district, our teachers needed support. So last year we made a commitment of about $500,000 from our budget. I mean, the reality is we need to make this a part of our culture, and it becomes just part of our operating expenditures. But we needed to support our teachers first, and then have them get comfortable with the device and individualize their own professional development and learning. And so stage two is this coming year for 2018 is to begin rolling out one-to-one devices, you know, at the secondary level. So eventually in 2 years, all 6th through 12th grade students will have, you know, a device in their hand. The younger you get in elementary schools, you know, whether you're K-1 and K-2, you might have a 10-to-1 laptop bank. You also 3, 4, 5 have, you know, Chromebooks or some kind of device like that. So we're being pretty purposeful in what we're doing, but we're making it a part of our just general operating expenditures.
Yeah.
And to do that, you got to have a supportive board. And so we have a real supportive school board that sees the vision, but we also have to have conversations with the city and the county to make sure that we don't have pockets of deserts of lack of technology access. So,
right.
You know, those are all conversations that we're having, and they're great supports that we're having. And then, you know, from an equity standpoint, you know, we want to train the teachers first. If the teachers aren't trained, what we do with the kids is, you know, they're going to be behind the game. And so, you know, we started again with the teachers first. But then we want to make sure from an equity standpoint that it's not just giving the kids a device or access, but ensuring that when they're using the device that they're not gaming the system. You know, I say that to say, you know, we have kids who struggle in learning who get in a computer lab to do some kind of remediation or intervention, and they just click, 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 click until they get the right answer. Well, if we don't intervene in that, then that's just doing an injustice to that kid. And then when they get back to the classroom, they're going to do the exact same thing with their learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure that we train the teachers, we train the students, and then we have an outreach to the parents to show the parents the power of the device and the power that it can be used to enhance not only the kids' learning, but their families' learning.
The family, those parents will help the kids, et cetera. I got to tell you, and your story about click, click, click to get the right answer reminds me when I was a kid and I used to write the answers on my sleeve, on a long sleeve shirt with a little hole in near the cuff. Okay, so I could do a little rotation with that. Yeah, this is the EdTech version of that. Okay, and obviously you don't learn anything. All right, you do learn to find the right answer, or at least be creative in finding the right answer, but you're not actually absorbing anything, okay, except the ink on your arm in my case, all right, which was just ridiculous. It's really – how do the teachers react to this? And I have to ask you a question, Mike. I do a lot of work with the American Association of Colleges and Teacher Education, and you know that you said that the teachers needed to be trained too. Okay, as you move into ed tech and you talk to – you're the superintendent. You hire teachers. As you talk to the – colleges that are preparing your future teachers, probably most of them are coming from Texas, okay? Are you finding that they're being prepared to enter the district as the district make, and all districts in Texas, but yours in particular in San Marcos, to make the to walk into a classroom and be ed tech ready? What's the word on that?
I think, Larry, you find that your younger teachers are really adept to using social media and using technology, you know, the digital portfolios, the things like Khan Academy, all these things. The younger teacher is really adept at using. The university system itself may be a little bit more traditional in their teaching and learning, but they're even starting to recognize the power the device has. And, you know, they have to adapt, you know, and if they don't adapt, the kids will adapt a lot quicker. And so I think we are finding that, you know, our younger teachers are the ones, when we gave them the device, are the ones that are using the device and are not afraid to make mistakes and growing and doing something different and empowering those kids, as Steve said, to take ownership for their learning. And you're starting to see it here in San Marcos, particularly in our social media. You'll see teachers who are showcasing their students' learning, whether it's math, science, social studies, or English. And it's the kids taking ownership, and the kids are showing their parents and our community, hey, this is 21st century learning. They're actually living it. So we're excited about where we're heading.
You should be. By the way, I know it's radio. You can't see me. I have a big smile on my face. And when you said the kids are showcasing to for their teachers, for themselves, and to their parents and grandparents and all that. And this is basically what it's all about, is to get the word out about how good the learning is, what I'm doing, Mom and Dad. Okay, and here's the way I'm going to be assessed. And let me ask you, Mike. Talk about, if you can, the use of the digital portfolio, Fresh Grade. You can, everybody can go freshgrade.com, check it out. Okay. Talk about the digital portfolio and how it affects assessment in the district as you're learning how to do it and all that sort of thing, because it really puts it all out there, and I love it. Instead of when I was in school, getting an A, a B, or a C with a little comment, Larry was talking in class on Tuesday, that kind of thing. That's not what we're worried about. Talk about that digital portfolio.
I think, Larry, it goes back to what Steve said, is it opens up the classroom. And, you know, I'm not a big proponent of, you know, shutting classrooms down for, you know, standardized testing. You know, you get a good gauge of where kids are at when you can actually see and hear them talking and collaborating their way using a digital portfolio, and then get feedback from their teacher or their family members, however. And so what we're doing here in San Marcos is using it with our K-1 students. We're also using them with our gifted and talented students, and then we're using them with our avid students. So we are just now in the first stages of rolling it out, but our teachers are driving that, and our kids are driving that. And I think what it's going to do is it just is going to give us better data on where kids are in their learning process. I think secondly, from a, you know, being a father of two young men and a stepfather to a young lady, I think what it does is it gives us and it gives universities potentially the ability to assess learning through other means, not just a standardized test. And I think the power of the digital portfolio. You know, it stores everything. It is aligned to our standards. So it's not, you know, it's not the superintendent making stuff up. There is the process. But I think it really pushes the kids to do those things we want them to do, collaborate, critically think, advocate for themselves, you know, get feedback, timely feedback. You know, it does a kid no good to take a test and then 3 weeks later they get, you know, oh, you missed these three questions. You know, here with the digital portfolio, you know, they can self-reflect. Oh, man, I could have done this differently. Or they can get feedback from other people, their colleagues, their, you know, fellow students and from their teachers. I think it just makes it a little bit more powerful. And it takes the anxiety away from always focusing on this accountability thing that weighs down teachers and students and families.
Yeah, because there's so much going on in the school, and everybody has to be aware of it. It's not just the bottom line on that test. And I'm a classic example of that. I did terrible on these standardized tests, but I always did well in school. You know, and the two are not they don't work together. And I only wish, you know, my parents could have really seen what I was doing in school. Okay, looking back, I wish I could have seen what my kids were doing. They're older now in school. Okay, as opposed to just hearing about discipline or getting a grade at the end. You know, it just doesn't make sense. I want to ask you something. I'm going to ask Steve first. Steve, you there? Pop back on.
You bet, I'm here.
Okay. Mike just said something that struck me. You know, I'm going to ask it, then I want to explain it. Is there interdisciplinary access, Steve Wandler of Fresh Grade, for a digital portfolio? And the reason I'm asking that is because a child might shine in English writing or social studies, okay? And the science teacher where the child, or the math teacher where the child may be struggling, okay, can look at that and say, wait a minute, this kid is not stupid. Okay, this kid is really doing great in social studies. Okay, and maybe I can combine the math and the science with the social studies to pique an interest. And I just talk about the interdisciplinary access, Steve, and then I want to talk to Mike about the same thing. Steve Wandler.
Yeah, the digital portfolio is really, I call it, inviting the tribe into the learning of the child. So everybody's included in that, whether it's a math teacher, social teacher, PE teacher, parent, guardian, grandma, grandpa, brothers and sisters should be involved in the conversation of learning. Like Mike said, it's typically on a standardized test when you ask the child, like, how'd you do on the test today? They don't talk about the learning. They talk about the grade. And so this allows the conversation to be to have the conversation about the learning. And I think you're right. It brings in those other educators or stakeholders into that conversation to say, look, I'm not dealing with that problem. You're dealing with that problem in your class. There's something that we need to change. And also yep. It includes parents into that conversation as well, which I think is absolutely critical, so that they know, what's going on in that black box of school.
And we don't want it to be a black box of school. We want it to be a very open and transparent, nice glass, bright white box of school. Michael Cardona, thank you, by the way, Steve. Michael, talk to me about the interdisciplinary access. Do the teachers see the power of that with a digital portfolio?
I do, Larry, believe the teachers will see the power of it. But, I think the biggest, and we just got to be upfront with it, the biggest roadblock will be the fear of change. Sometimes we in education are the most resistant to change. And
yep.
So I think, starting the pilot the way we are here with the teachers that are the doers that want to do it and that will collaborate with their colleagues, I think is going to start tearing down those walls, as Steve mentioned, and open up the classroom. But we have to be very purposeful. But, it can be used. I mean, just think about it. We have digital portfolios here in Texas around athletics and fine arts, right? We film, fine arts kids on the band field, and we film athletes in football here in Texas, particularly. And what do? They self-reflect. They ask questions. They collaborate with their coaches on how to get better. They don't focus on their weaknesses. They look at their strengths. They don't focus on those strengths. They focus on the weaknesses and how they get better as a team together to move forward, whether it's band, orchestra, or athletics. And that's the concept that I think Steve would agree with. We want to carry into the curriculum. If they could do that, right, in a band program where they're filming themselves, they have the ESL kid. They have the student with learning disability. They have the autistic kid. They have the GT kid. They have the average learner. And they all do great things. And so the digital portfolio really can be used. But we do have to address, the big elephant in the room is the fear of change. Just constantly doing things the same way and hoping things will change. I think Steve used the word things don't automatically happen. And I firmly believe, you have to be purposeful in what you're doing. The kids will take care of themselves. They will adapt to this. They will own it. And then we'll see those academic outcomes on those standardized tests. Because they'll think their way through these things.
You sure will. And I got to say, about that fear of change, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. And you can quote me on that. I just made that up. Okay. You have nothing to fear, educators, but fear yourselves. Because, we're training kids to live in an age of change. As we all know, things happen pretty quickly here in this 21st century. And they're going to have to be very adaptable like jackrabbits to make their way in the 21st century. That's what we're training kids for. They will change with the times. They will change with the tide, and the educators have to too. It's that simple.
That's
and I
right.
know they're wonderful people. They really care, but they just have to do that. There's another thing I want to ask before we go, and this is a key thing. Down in San Marcos, you mentioned this, Michael, okay, that there was a lot of not only ESL kids, obviously, but ESL mom and dads and grandmoms, grandpops, okay? And, you know, the folks probably speak Spanish at home, okay? And then you know, they're learning English or, you know, a little bit behind in it, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things I'm concerned about, I want Steve to talk about this, is the language ability. Okay, of a fresh grade digital portfolio, because what you're facing in Texas, you know, in Arizona, et cetera, are more epicenters of this, but it's everywhere in the country. We have a lot of ESL kids, and by the way, not just Spanish. All right, so and I hope I didn't stereotype too much in San Marcos, but Steve, talk to me about ESL languages within digital portfolios. And frustrating.
Yeah, well, again, we want to include everyone in the conversation, and if language is a barrier, you know, it just prevents families from communicating properly. So what we allow to happen is, you know, for to be posted in the portfolio in English, and then the parent actually has a translation capability on their side to translate
yeah.
to native tongue. And,
yeah.
you know, I think that, again, transforms the conversation of communication, period. Like, whether it's about learning or you know, just about family dynamics, you have the ability to have a deeper conversation. So translation is a big part of what FreshGrade has to offer, just around the pure communication piece. You know, forget about the learning. It's communication is key to this.
Well, that's one of the whole points. The kids are going to learn, and we're going to be able to see what they're learning. But everybody, and this is important nationwide, all these languages. I talk to teachers. They have 30 different languages in their classroom out of 40 kids or something. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the parent has to be able to see, okay, and read what they're doing. These are not stupid people. These are not illiterate people. They just have a language difficulty when they come to the U.S., okay, with English. So that's why the Fresh Grade translation, I wanted to highlight that, is so important. What's the next step, Mike, before we go? What's the next step?
Change is the next step, you know. Change is here. It's coming. So, I mean, we need to be ahead of the game because the kids will get ahead of us. But the real next step, Larry, for us here in San Marcos is to expand it. You talked about kids who speak a different language. We have four of our six elementary schools are dual language schools, and Spanish is the primary language down here. But we do have some students who are, you know, from other countries and speak other
sure.
languages from the university. But we, you know, are going to start rolling that out, the digital portfolios, with our dual language kids, right? Because as Steve mentioned, it's just another way to open the classroom. And that's an initiative for us, is to be a biliterate school system where kids are able to read, write, and do math and all that good stuff in two languages. And we've got to build that system. And digital portfolios really is the way to open up the classroom and to show progress of our programs over time. And then our parents and our students will advocate for us and advocate on behalf
That's right.
of all of us.
That's right, because the transparency, let me just say this, I hadn't thought of this before, all that transparency shows what good is going on with their particular children, okay, and within the school district. And that transparency, okay, when the school district needs to go to the community for a bond issue or something like that, or a new innovation within the schools, okay,
Correct.
All this is going to help. It's just incredible. Michael, keep up the good work down there. You're doing great down there, and I know you have a wonderful team of educators and administrators down there helping you out, and probably a terrific community.
We do. It's a great day to be a Rattler. Thanks for having us, and y'all have a great day.
Oh, you're welcome here anytime, my friend. And Steve Wandler, where are you heading today? What are you sitting at the airport for? Where are you going?
Well, I'm not far from San Marcos, actually. I just flew in from Dallas, and I'm in San Antonio heading to Seguin ISD. There's great things happening here in Texas. I love the pace of which Texas is moving. And quite frankly, you're seeing that all around the country, of the pace of people wanting and need, knowing there's need for change. So it, as Michael said, it's a great time to be in K-12 education.
It sure is, and it's a need for change, and it's a need for transparency, and that's what digital portfolios do. That's why I'm so happy to do these shows with you, Steve. Okay, fly safe or drive safe, whatever, fly safe home. Mike, have a great week in San Marcos, my friend.
You
come
too.
Back anytime.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you both.
Us.
Oh, my pleasure. Bye-bye. Cool guy. I liked him. Steve's cool, too, my dad. My good friend from Fresh Grade. Check it out. Really, this is good stuff. FreshGrade.com. And Mike's doing a great job down there, okay? He's superintendent of schools for San Marcos CISD in Texas. This is good stuff. I talked to a lot of Texas folks. There's good stuff going on down there. And they need to be proud of themselves, I'll tell you. Okay, and it's hard with all the ESL kids. They're going to get it together. They're gone places. And I bet every one of those teachers is going to love what they're doing with the portfolios and the ed tech. All right, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. Follow us on Twitter. Friend us on Facebook at the EduTalk Radio for either one. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on February 15th. Can't thank you enough for listening.